We do appreciate your coming today, we appreciate the effort that you put out. We know that there are some of you who health is such that if you're going strictly by your feelings, you probably stayed home this morning. But we're glad that you put out the effort to get here and to worship the Lord together. Let's turn to Acts chapter 3, the third chapter of Acts, and I want to read the first 11 verses of Acts 3. Now this was just after the day of Pentecost. And it says, "Now Peter and John went up together into the temple at the hour of prayer, being the ninth hour. And a certain man lame from his mother's womb was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms of them that entered into the temple. Who seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, asking alms. And Peter fastened his eyes upon him with John, said, Look on us. And he gave heed unto them, expecting to receive something of them. Then Peter said, Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have I give thee. In the name of Jesus of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And he took him by the right hand and lifted him up, and immediately his feet and his ankle bones received strength. And he leaping up stood and walked and entered in with them into the temple, walking and leaping and praising God. And all the people saw him walking and praising God, and they knew that it was he which said the alms at the beautiful gate of the temple. And they were filled with wonder and amazement at that which had happened unto him. And as the lame man which was healed helped Peter and John, all the people ran together unto them in the porch that's called Solomon's, wondering greatly." If you notice in the sixth verse, it said, Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, I give thee. We want this morning to talk about something better than gold. They said, Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, I give you. I wonder if a lot of times, a lot of us may be like Peter and John. We may pass even on the way to worship as they were going to the temple for prayer. On our way to worship, that we may pass folks who need help that we would be able to give. And if we have opportunity, then we ought to give whatever help that we have to give. And we, like Peter and John, may have at our disposal the very things that these people need. And in this case, the needs would be spiritual. May not have to do with silver and gold at all. But we have in our hands the gospel of Christ. And in our hands, the encouragement and edification that comes from the Bible, God's Word. And there are folks every day that need such a thing. And so, Peter and John, though they didn't have money, he said, I've got something I'm going to give you. And it's worth more than silver and gold. It's worth more than anything that we could give in a material way. But what I want to look at in this example of Peter and John at the temple, is he gives us three simple rules, it seems to me, in sharing with Christians. Or rather, sharing as Christians. Sharing with others as Christians. And the first is, they gave what they had. You remember that the Apostle Paul says, acquired what a man hath, and not what he hath not. And so they gave, Peter and John gave what they had. Notice in verse 6, again, silver and gold, Peter said, have I none, but such as I have, I give thee. The man was asking for alms. He was asking for money. He was a beggar. And he was asking for money, and Peter said, we don't have the money. We don't have any silver and gold. But what we do have, we can give you. All right. In doing that, they gave all that they could do. And they did all that they could do. They could not give that which they didn't have, but they could give of that which they did have. And that's all any of us can do. And they were poor. The apostles were poor. And they didn't have silver and gold. But in that, they were following the Master, the Lord, who was poor on this earth, yet was very rich. In Matthew chapter 8 and verse 20, and Jesus said, foxes have holes, the birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man hath not where to lay his head. Now you can't get much poorer than that. If you don't even have what a fox has, and you don't even have what a bird has, you can't get much poorer than that. So Jesus was poor, materially speaking. But you know, at the same time, he was rich. And Jesus especially was rich. Because he was not just a man. He was God in the flesh. Though he was very poor, humanly speaking, he was very rich. And one example of how much wealth was at his disposal is Matthew chapter 17 and verse 27. It came the time for that he needed money. And it said here in verse 27, notwithstanding, lest we should offend them. He's talking about money to pay taxes with. He didn't have any money. But lest we should offend them, he's talking about should they render unto Caesar the things of the Caesars and so on. He said, go down to the sea and cast a hook and take up the fish that first cometh up. And when thou hast opened his mouth, thou shalt find a piece of money. That take and give unto them for me and thee. Didn't have a place to lay his head. Didn't have a nest, as it were, to lodge in. But at his command and his disposal was all the wealth in the world. And when he needed the money in order to pay the taxes and in order to not be an offense to the world, he went, got the money out of the mouth of the fish. At his disposal, the whole world. Now we may not have at our disposal the wealth of the world. We may not be able to go out and pull up a fish and reach in the mouth of the fish and pull out the coin. But if we are following our Lord, it matters not how poor we may be. We may be as poor as Job's proverbial turkey, and I don't know how thorough that was, but it must have been bad because I've heard that all my life. Poor as Job's turkey. And we may not have anything, but what we lack in material things, we've made up in spiritual things if we are followers of the Christ and we are obedient to his will. And so, the early disciples were of the same nature. In fact, Peter and John had left all to serve the Lord, to follow the Lord. And truly, when he said, silver and gold have I none, he was speaking the truth. They left all material advantages in order to be with the Lord as his apostle and disciple. Peter said in Luke chapter 18 and verse 28, lo, we have left all and followed thee. That's when Jesus said unto them, there's no man that left house or parents or brethren or wife or children for the kingdom's sake who should not receive manifold more in the present time and in the world to come, everlasting life, a life everlasting. He may have left it all here, but in the world to come, there's everlasting life. And they had left all to follow, but Jesus said, that's okay. Because what you've left of this world's relationships, you're going to gain in abundance in the world to come. And so it really came down to the point that though they were poor in this world's goods, they really lacked nothing. Luke 22 and verse 35. And he said unto them, when I sent you without purse and scrip and shoes, lacked you anything? And they said nothing. That's talking about when he sent them out on the lengthy commission, and they were to go preach to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. They were told not to carry with them purse or scrip, that would be money, or shoes, but whatever house they entered into that received them, they were to bless them, to bless that house. And if they were not received in the house, they were dust, the dust off their feet as they left. But they were provided for. And he said, you lack nothing. We may not have money to share. That may be beyond our ability, beyond our budget. But that doesn't mean that necessarily we're poor. If we're rich in faith, and we're rich in things that really matter, that poverty is not going to amount to a whole lot. Having food and raiment, the scriptures say, let us be therewith content. You know, we can put all of our emphasis and all of our life and have it wrapped up in material things and still be poor. As a matter of fact, if we wrap up our lives in material things, something can happen to take those away almost in a flash. And if our life is wrapped up in material things, we have a hard time surviving. And a hard time coping with life. When our entire life has been wrapped up in that which is material, in things, in what we have, and what money can buy, and all of that. And that comes crashing down. And comes up on us, it's hard to cope with life. But if we're wrapped up in the Lord, and we're wrapped up in eternal security, the blow is a whole lot less severe. Because those things are not our life. They're secondary. Our life and our happiness is tied to Jesus Christ. And to walking in His way, not tied to things. And Peter and John had a life. They had a real life. But silver and gold, they had not. Their life did not depend on the silver and the gold. Another thing before we leave that point I want to notice. They said, silver and gold have I none. Now remember, Peter and John said this at the time, that people were selling their goods and bringing the price and laying them at the apostles' feet. And they were of the apostles. And yet they could, with truth, say to this man, silver and gold have I none, Peter said. That which they sold and laid at the apostles' feet didn't belong to Peter. It was under his control and under his direction as an apostle. But it's not his. That belonged to the Lord. And that was the Lord's money to be used in the way that it was, and the purpose for which it was contributed. And that is to relieve the poor among the saints at Jerusalem. And that which was in that treasury laid at their feet, under the feet, to the gift under their control. That in the treasury was not his to use. It was not his money, it was the Lord's money. I remember one time we were in a meeting, in a business meeting, the place where I was preaching, and the fellow who was the treasurer of the congregation, one day a decision was made that we'd spend X number of dollars for a particular thing. And that man spoke up and said, as long as I am the treasurer, we will not spend this money for anything like that. Well, he had to be reminded that was not his. It didn't belong to him. It belonged to the Lord, and it belonged to the church, in that it was the Lord's treasure and not his treasure. And so Peter and John could say with all truth and honesty, silver and gold have I none. Because individually, that was the case. And so, that which has been contributed into a pool fund for the use of the church cannot be taken by the individual and used just any way he wants to use it. But anyhow, silver and gold have I not, but such I have I give to you. So they gave what they could give, and secondly, they gave no more than that which they should have given. They did no more than that which they should have done. Because much had been given, and much was required of them. He told the disciples as they went out on that Lenten commission, he says, heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out devils, freely you receive, and freely give. He gave them the power to do miracles, even in the Lenten commission. And now he also gave them power in their carrying out the Great Commission as apostles, by giving them the Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost. And so he tells them to use that power, because freely you received, freely give. Then in Luke 12:48, but he that knew not and did commit things worthy of stripes shall be beaten with few stripes. But unto whomsoever much is given, of him shall much be required. And to whom men have committed much, to him they will ask the more. I may not know all that's involved in the few stripes and the many stripes in that passage, but I do understand this principle. For whosoever much is given, of him shall much be required. We've been blessed. The apostles have been blessed. They didn't have silver and gold, but they had the power to heal this man, and they had the power to do it by the power of the Holy Spirit, and to use that power to heal him in order to confirm the word, as we'll notice in a few moments. But they gave of what they had, and they should have given it freely, because they had been given much. And we are lights in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, and therefore we need to shine as lights in the world. And we do not need simply to refrain from evil, but we must do good with that which we have. May not be money, but whatever we have, talents, the gospel at our disposal, whatever, we are to be free with it. James 4:17 says, to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him this thing. Galatians 6:10, if we therefore have opportunity, let us do good to all men, especially those of the household of faith. So we can't sit on our blessings. The apostles didn't. We can't. We have not been given the same power that they had to perform miracles, but we have the ability to do other things, and things at our disposal that we can share with others. And it behooves us to do that. And we can't just, whatever blesses the Lord, bless us will. We can't just sit on that. We've got to bring fruit with it, and I might add, dedication is fruit with interest. Look at what the talent, one talent man, was rebuked for not putting the talent that he had to use. And he was told, thou oughtest therefore to put my money to the bankers, the American Standard Version says, and at my coming I should have received back my own with interest. Now receive it back with interest. We can't just sit on that which the Lord's given us. We've got to use it. And as the figure is here, return it back to the Lord with interest. We've been blessed. Blessed so much. We need to be willing to share with others whatever we have. It may be some of us have money. And we need to share that. It may be that we have no money. But we have other things that money can't buy. Companionship. Love and goodwill. Encouragement. And even correction where need be. To share that with those who need it. Silver and gold have I known. But such as I have, I give you. They didn't say, well, listen, we don't have any money. You're just out of luck. We don't have it. We don't have an obligation. Goodbye. No, they didn't stop there. We don't have any money, he says. We don't have silver and gold. But we do have something. And that which we have, we're going to share it with you. We're going to give it to you. And in that case, money could not have bought those miracles. Could have bought the healing that that man received. We may not be able to heal the body, but we can give him that message that heals the soul. And we can hand that out. Even though we have neither purse, nor scrip, nor anything of the kind. Second thing we want to know is they gave it in the name of Christ. Look again at that sixth verse. Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have I give I thee in the name of Jesus Christ. Of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Rise up and walk. In the name of Jesus Christ. There is where the merit of this gift lies. It was done in the name of Christ. It wasn't of their own, but they're doing by His name. Now there's some things that are great, some things are small. But we're rewarded if we do those things in the name of Christ. Mark chapter 9, verse 41, for example. In the 9th chapter 41, he says, for whosoever shall give a cup of water. Now that's not very much. But whosoever shall give a cup of water to drink in my name, because you belong to Christ, verily I say to you, he should not lose his reward. I got somebody out there, all they need is just a drink of water. Cool water. He said, if you do it in my name, he says, you'll not lose your reward. And then he says in Mark 10, verily, verily I say unto you, there is no man that left house or brethren, our sisters, our father, our mother, our wife, our children, our lands, for my sake, and the gospels, they shall not reap in this life. Goes on to talk about receive these 100-fold, and in the world to come eternal life. Done it in the name of Jesus. But not everything that people say is in the name of Jesus is in the name of Jesus. Really. Because in the name of Jesus suggests that you have the authority of Jesus to do it. And so, we will give our service, leaving the Lord out of the picture. Leaving His authority out of it. It's a very little merit. You remember Matthew chapter 6, the first four verses where he talks about it? If you give your alms, it's to be seen of men. He said, you don't have reward. Oh, you will have reward. You have the reward you receive of men. But you won't have the reward of the Father. Why? You're not doing it in the Lord's name. You're doing it in your name. And you're doing it for your purposes. And for your sake. And not the Lord's sake. You're doing it because you get the praise and the honor and the glory. And not that the Lord will get the praise, the honor and the glory. That's the reason he says in Mark 4, if you do it for my sake, not for your sake, but for my sake. And so, any giving, any service that leaves the Lord out of the picture is a very little benefit to us. And, in the name of Jesus, is where the power of the gift is. He had authority to do the miracles. That's what he says in the name of Jesus. They've been set forth to do these miracles to confirm the word where they went, but they were set forth by the power and the authority of Jesus Christ. And the Bible tells us in Colossians 3 and verse 17, whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of Jesus. That is, do it by his authority. Somebody goes out here and they do something that pertains unto me. They go out here and claim that I sent them out there and they're doing that thing in my name. And if it's something I don't know, I'm going to be upset about it. They go down to your house and they said, listen, I want to borrow $50 in the name of Ed Bragel. But you're saying Ed Bragel sent me down here to get that $50. And I find out about it. I'm not going to be happy about it. That you use my name, but what basically you're saying, we have the authority of him to borrow $50 in his name. But yet people go out here in religion every day. And they do one thing after another. If their life depended on it, they couldn't find where the Lord authorized them to do it. And yet they're saying they do it in the name of the Lord. They do it by his authority. And so, to falsely claim to be working in his name will bring nothing but condemnation. Look at Matthew chapter 7, 22 and 23. Matthew 7, 22 and 23. Many shall say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? And thy name cast out devils? In thy name have done many wonderful works? And then I will profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you that work iniquity. And that word iniquity comes from the word which means without law. So he's saying that you work lawlessness. Now notice the parallel. They said we prophesied in your name. We've cast out demons in your name. We've done, in thy name, we've done many wonderful works. But wonderful works in whose sight? In whose eyes? Wonderful works according to what I think wonderful works are. And he said, I profess unto you, I never knew you. What do? You work lawlessness. When you work lawlessness, is not in his name because it's not according to his law. And it's not by his authority. And so, to claim to be acting by his authority in his name, when in reality you're not, you're working that which is without law. He said, I'm going to confess unto you, I never knew you. You that work iniquity. You ever heard the expression, we need to give book, chapter, and verse for everything we do in religion? Well, that's the reason for it. Because we work it without that authority. It's truly not in his name. No matter how much we claim it. And it's lawlessness. Then thirdly, they gave something far better than the silver or the gold. Material and physical things are soon spent. They are gone. If a man can give the best to his child as far as care goes, child care. But if he doesn't give it spiritual care, it's a failure. We are so bent on in our time giving our children and our grandchildren, and to live long enough their children, everything they want, but not giving spiritual care, then it's a failure. There's something far better things you still want to go. We can give food, clothing, shelter, and medical care to all the poor in the world. But we don't give them the gospel. That's a failure. And we can take every filthy drunk up off the street, clean him up, and get him a job. But we haven't given him the gospel. We haven't given him anything. The gospel of Jesus Christ does what silver and gold can never do. The gospel can save us now and save us eternally. And in fact, the reason for this miracle that was done by Peter and John, the real purpose behind it was the gospel of Christ. The real purpose behind it was to confirm that these men who went forth claiming to be speaking for the Lord, were speaking for the Lord, the gospel had not yet been revealed and written and recorded as it has now. And they went forth to perform these miracles in order to convince folks that they really were speaking the Lord's gospel when they spoke it. And if you see in the verses that follow, beginning with verse 10 in Acts 3, and they knew that it was he which sat at the arms at the beautiful gate of the temple, and they were filled with wonder and amazement. That's not about the people that saw him. And at that which had happened to him, and the lame man which was healed of Peter and John, all the people ran together unto them in the porch that's called Solomon's, greatly wondered. And when Peter saw it, he asked other people, "You men of Israel, why marvel ye at this? Or why look you so earnestly on us, as though by our own power, or only as we've made this man to walk? The God of Abraham, and Isaac, and Jacob, and the God of our fathers hath glorified his son Jesus, whom he delivered up, denied him in the presence of Pilate, when he was determined to let him go. But ye denied the Holy One and the just, and desired a murder to be granted unto you, and killed the Prince of Life," and went on and talked about Jesus, and preached Jesus to them. The real object, even of that miracle, that they were able to give to this man, was to open the door so they could preach the gospel to those people. Something better than silver and gold. They gave that man healing. What they gave that people, and that on Solomon's porch, in that address, that sermon that was given, was the gospel of Christ. Something that's more powerful and more valuable than all the money in the world. It's worth more than all the silver and gold that one can accumulate. So, Peter and John shared what they had. It wasn't money. It's something that money couldn't buy. And they did it in the name of the Lord. That is, by his authority. And in doing it, they gave both that man and that audience on that occasion something better than gold. Something they could take with them from now on and would not perish. Now, each one of us has within our grasp something better than gold. And that's the gospel of Christ. And our obedience to it can cause the salvation of our souls. Money could never buy it. And obedience to it as a child of God who has fallen away and comes back and asks God's forgiveness and receives that forgiveness, that's better than gold. That forgiveness worth more than all the world. May it be that you're here this morning and you're not a Christian. We're not offering you prosperity in this life. We're not offering you silver and gold. But we're offering you an opportunity to receive that which is greater than that. And that's to have yourself right with God. And if you're here, accept the Lord's invitation, won't you come? While we stand, while we sing.